Lovely. Don't want that quite yet. Good morning, everyone. My name's Graham, and it's my privilege to bring God's word to us this morning. My role this morning, actually, is to kind of wind up our series that we've had on whole life worship. Since September, we've had a series of teachings on what whole life worship means, what it relates to. And so, previous one, that's it, yep. We've had 9 sermons on it, and I wonder how much we remember of each one of those sermons. Well, I'm going to go through and just give us a little reminder, first of all, of each of those. In week 1, we had Saju doing an introduction, and he asked us as a congregation what we thought worship was, and we wrote some things down. And some of the key things that we came up with is that worship is what we give to God rather than what we receive. Because so often what we do is we ask God for this, we ask God for that, we look to Jesus for our needs. But worship is when we give back to God and give him honor for who he is. It's walking in relationship with God. It's the way that we communicate with God. That's worship. It's submission. It's something that people don't like, is the idea that God is someone you have to submit to. But worship is giving God his worth and saying, you are bigger than me. You are more important than me. Respect, giving God respect for who he is. And it's an attitude. It's the way that we are before God. That's all worship. I hope that we remember Raymond's sermon, if we were here, the passion that he had as he gave us God's word and preached on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Some of the things he said include that worship is our connection with God. Everything we do is worship when we do it walking with Jesus. It's where our minds are focused. I had this kind of thought. Actually, it was in our small group when we were doing this again, that what is this idea of God being in us during our daily tasks when we're at work, when we're cleaning, shopping, whatever? And I thought, well, actually, it's probably like, it's not the same as, but it's a bit like when something really, really has wound you up and it burns inside you and you just can't get rid of it. And every moment your mind is off of something important, it goes back to that. In the opposite way, I think whole life worship can be like that, where our minds continually fall back to God about Jesus. That's what he said to us during the day. And Raymond also made an important point that we would say, oh yes, I know that, but it's that worship is a choice. We choose to worship God. What our circumstances are often affect how we react. And we can make a choice whether to worship God or whether to just do our own thing and put him to the side. We had Saju again talking about worship giving us fresh insight. And do you remember the story he told us of Corrie ten Boom and her family? Where they asked their pastor to look after a Jewish mother and baby because the Nazis had invaded Holland and they were getting rid of the Jews. And the pastor said to them, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not safe. And Corrie ten Boom's father said, I'd rather follow Jesus than be safe. That's my interpretation of what he said. But basically, that's what he said. And Saju said that everything we say and do, everything about who we are, depends on our relationship with God. And that translates itself into our worship. We had Amanda talking about worship and prayer. And she pointed out that prayer is worship, and worship is prayer. Because when we're worshiping with God, we're communicating. And prayer is communication with God. And when we're communicating with God and putting him in his right place, that is worship. And it seems to me that sometimes when we find it really hard to pray, when it won't come, when you can't concentrate, when everything's just kind of piling in, sometimes it's easier just to worship God, just to praise him and thank him for who he is. And God knows what's on our hearts, and that is prayer. Terry and Saju. Well, Terry did worship and influence, and Saju had also picked up on this, that our view of who God is changes everything. And our view of God is shaped by something. Is it shaped by what we read in Scripture, what we learn week by week? Or do we let the world shape us? Are we shaped by popular culture, current politics, fashion, society? Because whatever shapes us shapes our worship, and it shapes our relationship with God. Last week, Lynn talked about worship and words. Again, she picked up that worship is about every thought process, every word spoken, every deed performed for the glory of God. And she used the computer analogy of rubbish in, rubbish out. Again, picking up what we had from Terry. What are we feeding our hearts and spirits? We must allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change and renew us. The more of the Spirit that we allow into us, the more he will be evidenced in our thoughts and words. Our relationship with God, our view of God, our worship directs our words, what comes out of us. And words can encourage and seed hope, or be like bullets wreaking destruction. Words can help and heal. Words can hurt and humiliate. So there are some clear messages that we're getting there. In particular, our worship is affected by the influences on our lives. Our relationship with God is affected by the things that influence us, the things that we allow to influence us. And it seems to me that one of the traps that we fall into is that we pick up this very middle class thinking about life and what's right and wrong and what we should and shouldn't be doing. We get values and aspirations which are very attractive but are not biblical. They're not godly. They can appear Christian without actually being so. Things like, of course God wants you to have money, and it's important to save money. It's important to have the security of money. Of course God wants you to be able to have holidays. You should be able to relax. Of course you should be able to go to Ibiza or to Tenerife or further abroad. You have a right to it. You should be able to spend your money on what makes you comfortable. You should look after yourself. You need to be safe and secure. You need to make sure your family is safe and secure. Your children must have the best education you can get for them, and your life should revolve around what your children want, what you think your children like. I had a friend who was an ex-missionary from the past, and I visited a while ago, and he and his wife are getting near retirement age and thinking about winding down. And we talked about what we were doing in the church and all other things. And they said to me, Graham, you've got to wind down a bit. You've got to start relaxing and taking some holidays. You've done your bit. You've brought up the family. Now it's time for you to have some me time. And I wasn't quite sure what to say about that, because I don't see anywhere in Scripture that we kind of stop serving God at any point. I don't see retirement as a principle of Christian life. So how can we avoid being so influenced by these other things? How can we be whole life worshippers, not part-time worshippers, usually just on a Sunday. Thing is, God has touched us. We've heard his voice and we've responded saying, I believe in you, I trust you, Jesus, you're my Saviour. We get to that point and we give our lives to God and we start that journey of discipleship, of understanding and following Jesus. And sometimes we get really moved by the Spirit and things are great. But over time, that kind of gets a bit lost. We don't progress all the time. We might develop knowledge of God, but we don't always increase in our relationship with God. Why do we ignore God and his calling so easily? Why do we fall away so easily? How are we able to kind of push what the Holy Spirit is saying to us to the side time after time? I think part of the problem, a root problem, is that we struggle with the idea that God loves us unconditionally. I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking subconsciously, I'm not good enough for God. I'm different to everyone else. I know God really loves everyone else, but he can't really love me that much. So we don't fully accept his forgiveness. We're not comfortable with giving God access to all parts of our lives because we feel ashamed of some of them. And there's a kind of fierce independence which won't let go of those areas. A perverse sense of pride that deep down resists God. We need to understand and work on the idea that God really does accept us as we are with all of our faults. And even though we keep falling, we keep doing it wrong, getting it wrong, missing out, God still loves us just as much and he forgives just as completely every time. As long as we just face up to him and accept that he knows everything anyway. When we fail to grasp that God is everything in life, he's not an add-on, he's not an extra, we lose out on what God actually has planned for us. We don't come to that place of peace and security and contentment that Jesus offers. How many of us are really contented with where we are, what we're like, what we have? Because the world is never contented. You always want more. But knowing God is all we need. Stephen, if you could play the Whole Life Worship video. Now, we're going to watch this.
Lord, you know us.
We try to keep hearts focused.
We want to.
We wonder.
We long to.
We weary.
Miss your words.
Crowd you out.
Forget grace.
Love settles, cools, passion dims.
But you keep on, pursuing, wrestling, calling.
Patient grace warms us.
Wins our attention.
Retells your goodness.
Draws us again.
Revived, you delight.
In worship, refocused.
Expanded hearts sent out again.
Mercy follows us into every day. Your goodness poured out.
With softened hearts, we know your blessing.
And change the world around.
Thanks, Stephen. The only way to be significant in the world is to build that relationship that God offers us. If we really know that God loves us, it changes our attitudes to him and everything around us. Raymond pointed out that whole life worship takes practice. It's like learning a musical instrument. You have to work at it. It takes dedication. It takes a bit of discipline. That's kind of the bad news. But the good news is that to respond to this challenge, we don't have to suddenly change. We always expect something big to happen. But just as the world creeps gradually and dilutes our relationship with God, it can go the other way. And Jesus can come into our lives and build more and more. And by consciously choosing to involve Jesus in our everyday lives, we can slowly restore and build up that relationship with him. And I think the key to it is whole life worship. It's actually making an attempt to be like what we want to be. Scripture is always better at saying things than we are. So I have a couple of scriptures here. That one, there we are. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We need to put our problems into context and aim to be joyful. I've had a really difficult week. I've had so much on, I've so many pressures and things have got at me. And in the middle of the week, James 1 verse 2 came to me. "Brothers and sisters, you will face all kinds of trouble. When you do, think of it as pure joy." Now the context for James is slightly different, but that is so helpful. We can choose to actually be joyful rather than go under with all the problems and issues that get at us. We can choose joy. Pray continually and give thanks. Pray continually. Well, wouldn't it be good if we could pray for the people we meet? Not say, "Excuse me, can I pray for you," and put hands on them. I'm talking about just saying to God, "Lord, bless them. Lord, help them in their issue." Sometimes, you know, you see somebody in the street, maybe on the other side, and they just don't look happy. They don't look good. Do you just notice it and carry on? Or could you say, "God, be with them, bless them"? By doing that, it brings God into our lives as well as theirs. We can pray for situations we encounter. There are so many situations, aren't there? And so often they're difficult one way or another. But how often do we let God be involved in them and help us in them? When the news is bad, as it usually is, we can pray over it. Again, just mention it to God. The social media feeds, all that stuff that comes out, a lot of it meaningless, but sometimes people do have cries for help on there. Well, pray over it. Don't just absorb it all and keep flicking through. A while ago, we had someone from Prayer 24/7 who suggested that we pray the Lord's Prayer every lunchtime. About 12, he suggested, not my lunchtime. But that was really helpful, actually. And I got out of the habit after a while. But actually, it's really good. It really focuses us. Doesn't have to be lunchtime. It can be when you get up, when you go to bed. A fixed time. It's really good to do that. It draws our minds to God. Colossians 3 we had as our reading today. And verse 17 is absolutely key. "In everything you say or do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And always give thanks to God the Father through Christ." This is the summary of what whole life worship is. Let's develop an attitude of thankfulness and joy. Consciously bring God into every situation. It's good to listen to worship songs on days that aren't Sunday. There is so much access to music that we have now. Internet connection, you've got no excuse. And even if you haven't, there's Premier Radio, and there are always CDs out there. Oops, wrong one. Oh, what have I done? I've done something wrong there. Oh, well, okay, let's just blank it. It's not going to do that either. Oh, dear. Okay, let's try that. Okay, I'll run through them all. Right, that's where we were, wasn't it? Okay. There we go. Be generous with our money and our time. Thankfulness brings generosity. The people who are most generous are the people who are most thankful for what they've got. Before we open our mouths when it's a difficult situation, can we just think, oh, what if Jesus was next to me? What am I going to say? Involve him in our conversation. And let's pray as if it makes a difference. How often do we pray without really expecting God to do anything? Because, well, we don't think he normally does. And anyway, it's only me, so why should God take any notice? If we believe that God changes every situation we pray for, if we always saw that God did change situations because we prayed, wouldn't we pray a lot more? And maybe God would change more things when we pray, if we prayed. It's up to God what he does, but it's up to us to pray first. I've made a simple bookmark, which is available on the chairs at the front and as you go out at the back, so we can pick them up if we take communion, to take one with us. You may not read books, but it could go in a Bible, or it could go on your fridge or on a pin board. How do we actually remember to do this? Because in a week's time, you won't remember almost anything I said. And actually putting it into practice is even more difficult. But we need to start little things and a little reminder of things that we could do. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Do things as if we're doing them for Jesus. Listen to worship. Be thankful. Think, what if Jesus can hear this? Because of course he can. And be generous. Not just thinking about me. In the immortal words of Katia Jones from Strictly Come Dancing, practice makes improvement. Just practicing doing these things. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but the impact on us and on others can be massive. So let's just pray. Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, for God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the impact you make on our lives. We thank you that you have a plan for us and a plan for everyone around us. Lord, please speak to us and help us in our attempts to know you better, to be more obedient to you, to follow the path that's the perfect path that you have for us. We ask that you would come and be part of our lives in every moment of every day, and that we would be able to bring you into all our situations. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it'd be good if we just spent a couple of minutes thinking about these things and about God and how we can just involve him more in our lives. And the band's just going to play I Surrender All. And let's talk honestly to God in this time and be prepared to be accepted 100%.